You'll never work in this town again. Maybe. Microsoft's new disappearing magic trick. And Twitter takes its ball and goes home. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
Today's episode of MSP Dispatch is brought to you by CyberDrain's Capture the Flag, a CTF oriented at system administrators and engineers instead of cybersecurity experts. This event is designed to test the skills of everyone in the MSP space so that they can show off what they can do. Beginning February 14th, 2023, with no cost to enter, anyone anywhere in the world is welcome to join up to 1,000 players. And to get an idea of the amazing prizes up for grabs, take a look at last year's awards, including a streamer starter pack, a PS5, a Nintendo Switch, and thousands of dollars in Amazon gift cards, plus more. Be sure to visit ctf.cyberdrain.com to register today.
Good morning and welcome to the January 17th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Orsini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, brother. It's mid-January already, 2023. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Can't complain. We got blessed with another cold front in Florida. I know today's, or Monday was the last day, so that's, you know, a little sad, but it was a nice weekend. It was pretty fantastic. What about yourself?
Oh, people right now around the country are kicking us right now. Yeah, cold front. What? You got down to 50? Oh.
Sir, it was 40. No, I know. Oh. It's fantastic regardless. It doesn't matter. You know what else is fantastic? So you know the whole thing, right? Fashion, you know, bell bottoms make a return. Low rise jeans are making a return again now. Like whatever's old becomes new again, right? That's just the circle of life, right? Grab a tiger, grab a lion, raise it and tell everybody it's a lion. Anyway, so, whatchamacallit? Apparently the younger generation, the kiddos, as you and I would call them, have found a new thing to bring new again. They're carrying around flip phones. Now, Tony, you remember flip phones, right? Like I'm sure you had a StarTAC. There's no way in the world.
StarTAC, the Motorola 550. Oh yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. The Nokia. I mean, it looked like a tricorder, right? It looked like a boop, boop, you know, beam me up, Scotty. Like it was the coolest thing in the world. So apparently, and this is one of those, I can't actually fault them for it. So apparently millennials, what they're doing is, when they're home getting ready to leave to the club, you know, go out and party and do their thing, they're listening to music on their smartphones as one would do. But when they're ready to leave, they actually put it down and they pick up the flip phones and they take those out because they don't want any of the distractions. They don't want any of the alerts. They don't want to sit there. How many times have you gone out somewhere? I know you and I have gone places and you see everybody just sitting on their phone in a social environment. And they're doing this to counteract that. And actually, I don't say this often about millennials, but I think that's freaking brilliant. Good for you guys, man.
Tip of the hat. Tip of the hat. Amazing.
Absolutely. You know what else is amazing?
Talk to me.
The news. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
In our top story in the business section, FTC proposes rule to ban non-compete clauses, which hurt workers and harm competition. Posted on the FTC homepage, the FTC proposed banning non-compete clauses, which are contracts that prevent employees from joining competing companies after leaving their job. The agency stated that non-compete clauses harm healthy competition and that stopping the practice could increase workers' earnings by almost $300 billion a year. The agency added that non-compete clauses are detrimental to the U.S. labor markets as these prevent employers from hiring the best talent and employees from pursuing better jobs. If the proposed rule goes into effect, employers would have to modify their employees' contracts to eliminate and or not enter into any non-compete agreement. The FTC is currently seeking public comment on the proposed rule. We will put the link to this below in the show notes so you can add your own. Tony, you've been both hired and hirer, right? The employer. And I know at least in my case, I've had plenty of employees that I would have loved to bring over, but they had an existing non-compete. And we're not going to get into the whole non-competes are generally unenforceable depending on certain states and blah, blah. That that's state by state, and we're not legal professionals. We're not going to weigh in on that. However, this blanket statement to invalidate all non-competes across the U.S., I think that has some amazing power. You were very excited about this story. What's your take here?
I am fascinated by the direct implications, but the ancillary, the peripheral, the parenthetical components that no one's really taking into account, such as, let's just play this out for all the employers out there. Every single business owner principal should be listening right now. Every single major player in the sales arena, the development arena, even like a leader in the operation side of things, across the board, everyone should be focusing on every single one of these words, because this has drastic impact. In theory, you could simply go to another company as an employee. As an employer, you risk losing not just your core team, but all of the knowledge and possibly customer references that they're going to bring to someone else. As an employer, you can take someone from another company. Topically, this has pretty profound impact, but what happens layers underneath that? What the immediate layer is, what is the compensation package revision going to look like for the retainment, or the retainer component of retention of employees. Compensation packages across the board are going to change. What about that initial bonus? Are those going to be a lot higher attached to a retainer term to that? Now, let's think a layer below that. What about the customers? Because you don't want your customers to be going back and forth with your employees going back and forth. So you're going to lock them in 2, 3, 4, 5 year agreements. Might think Microsoft NCE is already there. Think Kaseya is known for locking people in. There are so many retention layers that are going to be implemented, because topically it looks pretty cool, and now we're all free. But the ramifications of this are huge. And anyway, I could talk about this for days. But Ray, you're in the exact same shoes I'm in. What are your thoughts on this?
I'm just thinking I can go get that job at Popeyes now and take my knowledge of the 11 herbs and spices. No, I'm kidding. I think this is overall a good thing. I think this may be a story where I think the kerfuffle around it is probably more than the actual end effect. I think non-competes are horrendous. They should absolutely be abolished. No argument there. But they're also, remember the time I said I wasn't going to talk about that they're generally not enforceable? Well, I'm going to go ahead and flex my executive producer muscles and go back on that statement. I mean, you know, just, they're not generally enforceable. They're not something that really holds people back. You look back to, what was it, 2 years ago, Apple and Google were fighting back and forth tooth and nail, because engineers would go back from, you know, they would leave Google and they'd go to take a job at Apple, and Google would go after them, you know, citing that, you know, they had knowledge about how their inner workings were and stuff, and try to enforce non-competes. And those were thrown out 100% of the time. Now, I know we have places like East Texas, they go a little crazy on patent law, and I don't know how they preside on non-competes, but one would guess that they're equally strict on them. So I'm glad to see this happen. I just wonder what the final effects are going to be if it does come to pass. And I'm truly hoping it does come to pass. Regardless, share this article, post your comments, let the FTC know how important it is, and let us know. Put it in the comments so we can talk about it. But Tony, speaking of things we need to know about, last week, Microsoft pulled a Houdini on us.
Straight from CloudScript.tech, Microsoft ASR bug deletes shortcuts. On January 13th, Microsoft was investigating an issue where users were unable to access application shortcuts on the Start menu and Taskbar in Windows. That's due to a Microsoft Defenders update. And Ray, I want your input on that in just a moment, but there is a solution. Now that Microsoft has released their own fix for the issue, but we advise you to test it out first. This fix does not support all shortcuts, so this solution can be used to complement other company-specific applications. For complete details, please look at our show notes. Ray, give us your thoughts on this, because I'm just going to say what we're all thinking. Hold on. Microsoft released a, update that deleted all my stuff. Am I summarizing it or am I getting it a little bit wrong?
So there's going to be a subset, as you pointed out, there's going to be a subset of MSPs that are sitting here like, yeah, that was Friday the 13th. That was, you know, a few days ago. And why are we listening to it now? And rightfully so. However, if Reddit has taught me anything, along with the NCE, it's that no matter how much the information is out there, I guarantee you there's a large swath of people that have no clue what's going on or how to fix it. So because there is a fix attached, we'll do you all the favor of not spending a lot of time on this story, but because there's a fix attached, we wanted to make sure it was a major, at least one of the top stories, so you can go do your thing and get it corrected if you need to. There's not a lot to it. It deleted your shortcuts, it deleted your startup items, and it made for a bad Friday the 13th. Microsoft should know it's re-only Friday.
There's MSPs out there that know about this, but there's users that don't know about it and they're kind of freaking out. Maybe they don't have an MSP to talk to and they're figuring out what these MSPs are and they could get the solution. And then there's a revelation of are you saying that there's someone out there that can actually just do this for me? I can pay them a flat, predictable every month to manage my stuff. I don't have to hire someone full time. This is amazing. The MSP dispatch is incredible. And we're introducing not just the article or the solution for something that they've heard of, but we may actually be updating some of the MSPs out there that haven't figured it out yet. And this is a great win for everybody. So as much as I want to say this is super, super, super techie, it's not. This is actually something that's affecting so many people out there. So for those of you who are interested, I would actually love to hear, why you're interested. Is this new to you? For those of you who are not interested, is this old school? Maybe we passed the boat since Friday the 13th and Ray's got to dip into Ray's head, which I strongly, strongly advise against, for more information. Let's jump into the next story, Ray.
In our third top story, Twitter reportedly cuts off API access to third-party apps in an intentional move, written by Duncan Riley for SiliconANGLE. Twitter appears to have deliberately cut off third-party clients from accessing its API. Issues with third-party apps such as Tweetbot and Twitterific were reported as early as Thursday evening, and the outage continued into the weekend. Neither Twitter nor CEO Elon Musk commented on the API going down, but with internal Slack channels suggested the company was aware of the outage and was likely the cause of it. According to a January 12th report, 9to5 Google suggested Twitter may be killing off third-party clients because they don't bring in ad revenue for Twitter, something that Musk has made clear was a high priority. Tony, Elon's the gift that keeps on giving. Down to 50 employees, stay work at home, come to the office, move into a boardroom, setting up beds, and now cutting off part of the ecosystem. What's more dangerous to you in this story? The fact that the ecosystem, the API is cut off with zero notice, or the fact that it's a constantly moving target that Twitter's partners don't know what to expect?
I mean, let's get the turds out on the table, everyone. Since his arrival, things have not been stellar at Twitter. And just when you think there's different shades of blue check mark and you pay for some, but you can fraudulently impersonate one, but you can't get any worse than that. Oh, wait, hold my beer. We're going to bring down the API. And so what the stakes are, though, is the mechanism, the transport layer for communication that is so widely used. And when you start putting it through the lens of you are threatening a very, very mainstream mechanism for communication, now the stakes are a lot higher. Now the concern should absolutely be valid. Is this indicative of other things? I mean, just 2 days ago, there was a 30% reduction in Tesla car cost, the cost to purchase a Tesla. So what's happening? What is happening? These are, one common denominator, and we have Elon Musk. So I am deeply concerned that this may be a financial play. And I brought this up into one of the previous episodes where I said, hey, listen, Elon Musk is taking this, the largest bonus ever recorded in human history. And he could be tanking Twitter. And I'm speculating, everyone, this is something I brought up literally when he first came on board. He'd be okay with tanking Twitter because he bankrupted it. It's a complete paper reshuffle where he can now write off the taxes of the largest bonus in human history, or guess what? He is now the owner of Twitter and takes all this money tax-free. You get your cake and eat it too. That was a complete speculation when it first started being talked about. It looks like it's going in that direction and it's becoming more clear. So maybe it's something off the top of my head, maybe a little bit more real than originally anticipated, but it is terrifying based on the stakes of critical communication. Ray, what are your thoughts? Maybe I'm overthinking this. Maybe there's too much caffeine. Give it to me.
I mean, so the cynic in me says, you know what? Completely turn this thing into a dumpster fire, file chapter 13, and move on to the more profitable businesses like, you know, Tesla, Starlink, you know, SpaceX, that kind of stuff. ChatGPT. Now, that is incredibly cynical. To think that he would firebomb this company just to file Chapter 13 to not have to pay back these millions of dollars, it's not crazy. It's a little crazy, but not that crazy. On the other hand, you know, one of the things that strike me is MySpace was founded in 2003, and it had a short-ish lifespan, right? Lord knows Facebook has gone through its ups and downs. Instagram has gone through its ups and downs, right? Reels came and they went. Vine came and it went. Is this just the lifespan of social? Is this Twitter's time? It's happening quickly, much more quickly than ever happened in MySpace, but is this just the way social platforms happen? Some become great and then dive fairly quickly. I don't know. I want to hear what the audience has to say. MSPs, are you tired of hearing about Elon, or do you really care? Or, you know, where do you think this is going? Are you with me on the cynic side, or are you taking that bet with me? It's a chapter 13 play. Or is he just that nuts? Let us know. Put it in the comments, and we'll be sure to discuss it on the next episode.
And jumping into my first notable mention from darkreading.com, a critical Cisco SMB router flaw allows authentication bypass. Unpatched Cisco bugs tracked as CVE-2023-20025 and CVE-2023-20026 allow lateral movement, data theft, and malware infestations. Two vulnerabilities in Cisco routers for small and mid-sized businesses, SMBs, could allow unauthenticated cyber attackers to take full control of a target device to run commands with root privileges. Unfortunately, they'll remain unpatched even though proof of concept exploits are floating around in the wild. Among other things, a successful compromise could allow cyber attackers to eavesdrop on or hijack VPN and session traffic flowing through the device, gain a foothold or lateral movement within a company's network, or run crypto miners, botnet clients, or other malware. Whew. Update your stuff, people. And in my next notable mention from darkreading.com, $20,000 buys insider access to Telegram servers. For the non-negotiable price of $20,000, threat actors claim they can provide insider access to Telegram servers running the encrypted instant messaging platform preferred by a security-conscious clientele. Quote, it's impossible to say how many users or Telegram servers may have been impacted, the report explained. However, if the vendor's claims are valid, the insider in an internal Telegram network would be able to exfiltrate logs and compromise user data.
In my first notable mention, 12 new features of Microsoft Teams for 2023. Microsoft has released more features for Teams to support hybrid work and remote collaboration. New chat features include the ability to delete any chat or even group chats. Note, it only deletes for you and not for anyone else. It also includes the ability to address a particular group of people, and it will auto-mention using AI, and AI being Microsoft words. It will introduce AI to determine which users you might want to begin a chat with. It also adds more than 800 emojis to choose from. For the complete list, see the link to the YouTube video below. In my second notable mention, NortonLifeLock warns on password manager account compromises, written by Tara Seals for Dark Reading. Gen Digital, the owner of the LifeLock brand, has just sent out data breach notifications to customers informing them that it has fallen victim to a credential stuffing attack. The company detected that there was an unusually high number of failed logins on Norton accounts on December 12th. And after 10 days of investigation, the company discovered the attacks began as early as December 1st. While Gen Digital didn't reveal how many accounts were compromised, it did warn customers the attackers accessed names, phone numbers, and mailing addresses. Remember, LifeLock is the tool that is generally given out to users in the case of compromises and with healthcare insurers, with retailers, and credit card companies. If you're a user of LifeLock, please contact them to find out where you stand.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. Today through the 19th, an in-person event, seven-figure MSP sales and marketing event live in Phoenix, Arizona. Tomorrow, the 18th, an in-person event, next-gen MSP local in Tampa, Florida. Also on January 18th at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Build It Better, MSP discussion presented by Everything MSP. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have MSP Dispatch every Tuesday and Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. On January 19th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, we have Tim Golden of Compliance Risk joining us for episode 50 of the Tech Bar. And January 25th at 1 p.m. Eastern is our next Partner First webinar, how to implement a cybersecurity policy process, also with Tim Golden of Compliance Risk.
Hey friends, Wes Spencer here. I wanted to invite you to a really amazing workshop, boot camp, you might even call it. Here's some of the things we're going to cover in this course. Some amazing things like why the cyber insurance market is just changing like crazy. We're going to talk about the things you've got to know as an MSP to be successful at this. Not just helping your clients through it, but building new revenue. So we're going to cover about how you can actually enhance this in your QBR processes along with samples and examples. We're going to actually role play with you. This is February 8th and 9th. Our registrations are getting full. Register. We want to see you there. It's only $699 to join in. Can't wait to see you. Make sure you register as soon as possible. Thanks.
So I'm here with Tim Golden, the next feature guest on the Tech Bar. Now, this is a special episode. We're participating in Dry January.
This is great because, you know, I don't drink anymore. So I'm looking forward to coming to this. And don't worry, Simon, I'll bring milk for you.
There you go.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it three times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on the YouTubes or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode or leave us a voicemail, 833 MSP Network. Tony, I know they're proposing to get rid of non-competes, but you are not allowed to leave Dispatch to go work for any other MSP news show, sir.
I was going to say that to you. I was going to say, listen, non-compete or not, you're not going anywhere. That's just the way it works.
And to our audience, you can't leave us either, at least until that non-compete's enforced. But Tony, thanks so much for sharing the news and your thoughts today. Appreciate you, man. Until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves and each other.
Be safe.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Look at me, I'm pretty. Okay. Okay, there we go.
That was the quickest before and after I've ever seen.
You like that?
No, that was fantastic. And by the way, I used to work for one of those MSPs. They're crazy places to be at. Proactive, you have no idea. Let's get to the next story.
Issues with third-party apps such as blah, blah, blah.
And in my next notable mention, $20,000 buys insider access to telecom. Okay, here we go. And on January 25th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is our partner first webinar, How to Implement a Cybersecurity Policy Process, also with Tim Golden of Compliancy Risk. Oh, compliance. I messed up. Of compliancy risk. You want me to do that whole thing again? Let me do it one more time. I'm so sorry. That's a pretty cool. I like that cut over to Wes. By the way, can you hear my dogs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It'll be ending in. There's literally a cat.
A dog or is hell opening beneath you?
It's a cat standing in front of my door saying to dogs, ha ha.